Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One or the other. Being successful, doing what Jesus did. Not one and the same. You cannot have them both. Despite what the TV preachers may say, having success and having faith are not one and the same either. Faith does not lead to profit and success. What would Jesus do won't serve you very well as a model for your business. Farmers, don't learn to farm like Jesus. Not if you want to be successful, at least. According to Jesus' parable, the sower would scatter seed recklessly without any regard for the condition of the soil on which the seed lands. Some here, some there. No concern at all for the quality of the soil on which he sowed or the potential of the seed to germinate and grow and bear fruit. That kind of reckless farming might make the seed manufacturers happy, but it won't improve your yields. Frankly, it's a downright foolish way to sow and to harvest. Shepherds, don't follow the example of Jesus shepherding either. Not if you hope to be successful. What kind of shepherd leaves 99 sheep in order to search for one lost sheep? The risk is too high. Cut your losses. Let the sheep go. Move it one column over in the ledger. It's just a commodity anyway. What point is there? What logic can there be in putting 99 sheep at risk in order to search for one? Mathematically, it makes no sense. But worse than the shepherd who risks the flock in order to find one stupid lost sheep is Jesus' description of himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No sheep is worth the life of a shepherd. No flock of sheep is worth the life of a shepherd. A dead shepherd, no matter how good he might have been, can't do much for the sheep. If you are a shepherd, don't die in order to save your flock. It doesn't work like that. It's a foolish way to take care of sheep. Fishermen, don't learn from Jesus how to catch fish. Not if you want to be successful fishermen. Simon Peter knew better. He was the professional. The best fishing on Gennesaret was at night. He was willing to let Jesus teach from the boat, put off the shore just a bit. That was Jesus' domain, teaching. Who was Simon to question his methods? But when Jesus finished teaching and told Simon to put out into the deeper water and to let down the nets for a catch, he was a little bothered. Fishing, after all, was Simon's realm. Master, we toiled all night and have nothing to show for it. If the fish could not be caught at night, certainly it's even more foolish to try in the heat of the day. But at your word, I will let the nets down, and we'll see what happens. Who fishes in the middle of the day and in the deep, and not with bait but with nets? It's a foolish way to catch fish. Churchmen, don't learn from Jesus how to take care of your churches, not if you want to be successful. There are better models. Do a demographics study to find out where people are. Meet their felt needs before you minister to their spiritual needs. If Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, you better be able to produce the signs and the wisdom that they seek. If people want small groups and a Jesus who will make them feel better about themselves, you need to de-emphasize corporate worship and quit preaching about downers like sin. If they want self-help messages and sermon series on sex, then you preach what fills the pews. If the historic liturgy doesn't pack them in, if Lutheran chorales and sturdy hymns don't put seats in the seats, you've got to come up with something new, some fresher approach to worship styles. If you want your congregations to grow, get rid of stumbling blocks and folly. The cross. That's a downright foolish way to grow a congregation. So repent. If it were your congregation, you could grow it however you wanted. If it were your seed, you could scatter it however you wished. If it were your flock, you could shepherd it however you wished. If it were your boat and your net, you could fish more discriminately. But none of it is yours. God has called his ministers to sow the seed of his word seemingly recklessly and everywhere, regardless of the soil or the prospects for harvest. He dispatches under-shepherds to shepherd like the good shepherd, seeking every lost sheep, giving up lives, ambitions, desires for the good of the flock. And he has called his apostles to be fishers of men, fishing not with bait and lures, but with nets. No bait has drawn you, but you have been caught in the net of the gospel. No bait, no lures, no attractions, no savvy marketing campaign or winsome sales pitch, just the net of the Lord's word and sacraments. They catch without discriminating. It has caught you. Rebellious though you were, deaf to the word of God and blind toward his goodness towards you, you were caught in the net of the gospel quite against your will, in the waters of holy baptism, and hauled into the Lord's church. The best illustration of the pure gift of the gospel is the baby who kicks and screams at the font, dragged against his sinful will into the safety of the church, just as you were. The model for Jesus' ministry is not successful when measured by worldly standards. No one empties pews faster than Jesus. And yet, since the day of Pentecost, the church has never shrunk. If you look at Christ's ministry to and through his church, and you don't see success, you may be certain that you are measuring success by the wrong worldly standards. Approaches to the contrary notwithstanding, there has never been a more successful, more safe, more secure institution than the church. Where the foolishness of the gospel is proclaimed, all of God's elect will be saved. Where the mysteries of the sacraments are administered, no one is able to snatch out of the Lord's hand those who have been given to him. In other words, there's no risk. The fruit of your labor is not in your hands, but it is guaranteed. There's never been a higher yield or a greater ROI than the church's mission to preach the word and administer the sacraments. It's foolishness, pure foolishness. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are saved, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That God would take human flesh in the womb of a virgin, that he would dwell in the midst of his creation, that he would take all human sinfulness upon himself, that God would be nailed to a cross and executed, and that his death would pay the penalty for your sins, and that he would join you into his death and resurrection through the ordinary waters of baptism, is all foolishness. You'll never package it slickly enough to sell it. You'll never convince someone to believe it, just as you were not given faith by anyone's sales pitch. I believe I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, by Christ crucified. Enlighten me with His gifts, the mysterious means of grace, His sacraments, sanctified and kept me in the Christian faith. You have been caught in the dragnet of the gospel, snared in the forgiveness of sins, and pierced with the Lord's gift of faith. And the foolishness continues. Jesus doesn't do what's logical and sensible and seemingly right. He doesn't depart from Peter because of his sinfulness, though that would have been fair. He stays with the sinner. He came for sinners like Peter and like you. And He continues to come to you in the midst of your sinfulness, in the midst of your need for Him, giving you His own body and blood to nourish you in the faith. That's foolishness. It's contrary to reason and logic and common sense that mere bread and wine could deliver the very body and blood of God Himself, the eternal Word through whom all things were created, encapsulated in bread and fed to you, present in wine and delivered to you. It's foolishness that God would care about you enough to send His Son in the flesh to die in your place. It's foolishness, all of it. Everything we do here is foolishness in the eyes of the world. But it is wiser than the world's wisdom. It is Christ crucified for you, for your good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.